What's going on, people? Welcome to P.S. I Hate You. This is
Hey, everyone.
Reach.
Welcome.
Hey.
And this is Parker.
Here we are today on Oscar Sunday, February 9th.
Hey, it's very exciting.
We're really excited. We're going to talk about the Oscars in a little bit, but we just wanted to kind of reintroduce ourselves a little bit in case you didn't catch our very lengthy first episode.
For those of you who listen, thank you so much for making it all the way through. We know it was long. We had a lot to talk about, a lot of content, so we appreciate you.
Honestly, I think if you listen to the first podcast, you could probably tell. The first original one we recorded was about 3 hours long. So this last one being about
we
an
cut
hour
it down,
40
yeah.
was good. So we're going to try really hard to not keep it super long today. But just to kind of reintroduce ourselves, Parker and I have been friends for a super long time, and we've been wanting to do a podcast like this, talking about pop culture, our interests, reading, books, movies, listening to music, whatever that is. But now we're finally recording, and I'm from Norman, Oklahoma. I'm living in Norman right now.
And yes, even though I went to college in Oklahoma, living in the Washington, D.C. area. So Sreesh and I are doing... doing this podcast remotely. But yeah, like Sreesh said, we are talking about all things pop culture, past and present. So updating you on the current things going on and previewing, you know, the pop culture happenings to come while also, you know, delving into pop culture of the past, kind of feeding our nostalgia for all things early to mid 2000s pop culture, because that is when we grew up and we miss all of those things kind of from that era. So we'll be touching on all of those topics in hopefully the next hour long podcast.
Yes, that's our goal. Try to keep us accountable. Leave comments if we didn't make the hour long mark.
exactly.
So Parker, what have you been up to the last week? I know we haven't really gotten a chat, so what's been going on?
I know I did not have as an exciting week as you, because I know you've been doing some fun traveling and such, which we'll get to. But, you know, I have been making my way through this this cold weather time. I am not a fan, but it hasn't been too bad.
That's good.
We'll talk about more because I know that you missed the snowstorm back home.
I was so annoyed the one day I was
like,
gone.
What timing? I know. Mm-hmm. So I've just, you know, been working, relaxing, doing my thing. I don't want to get too much into my professional updates because I don't want to jinx anything. But let's just say that I might have some professional updates pending, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Keep an eye out on that boy's LinkedIn for any
updates
to
come. Ooh, updates. You're like just stalking it. No. So hopefully by episode 3 of the podcast, I will be informing you guys of a professional update that's a little more than what I'm currently teasing. But yeah, so that's been me. I've been doing a lot of streaming, a lot of Oscar prep for tonight. But yeah, I did not have just nearly as fun a week as you have, because I know that you flew up to the Northwest, right?
The Pacific Northwest, indeed. Yes.
So majestic.
I got to go to Seattle for a conference. So I work at the student union, like I mentioned before, and there was a union conference of the Big 12, Pac-12, and Big 10. So all the schools coming together. This happens once every 5 years.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's very
rare.
It's
like the Olympics of the, student unions.
This is hilarious. Do you want to know how they decide who hosts every 5 years? At the end of each conference, so at the end of the one in Seattle on Thursday afternoon, the director of the union at Seattle just said, so next year, so it switches conferences. So this year, Pac-12 got to host. 5 years from now, it's the Big 12's turn. They just said, who wants to host? Just like
for volunteers.
Just an open conversation. Official. And TCU's hand went all the way up and said, we will. Of course.
I'm not going to say too much on that, but I can picture it.
So that's how they decide who hosts. But this year it was at the University of Washington. It was really, really fun. I was telling Parker earlier while we were talking about just getting to meet a lot of fun people, new people who kind of do the same job I do, which is pretty exciting to be like, oh, yes, we do the same thing. Try a few cool restaurants, got to go explore Amazon. It is really big in Seattle, which I don't know why I didn't know that. Did you know that? It's like a big deal there.
Well, because that's where Jeff began all of its operation. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I just didn't know it was in Seattle, but we learned a whole lot about Jeff and his whole journey.
Amazon's takeover of our world and every sector of our lives.
Wait, listen to this. Have you been to an Amazon Go store? Do you know what that
is? Are those like the grocery stores where you just walk in and take them?
Yeah, you just walk in, scan your app, take what you want, and leave. And it automatically charges your Amazon account.
I have not been to one, but I've seen it. Yeah,
it is so cool. They also have an Amazon 4-star store where they only have products that are rated 4 stars or higher in the actual store, which is pretty funny.
That's funny.
I mean, it's kind of dumb because every time I thought about buying something, I was like, I could just buy it on Amazon and have it delivered.
Right, so, and have it shipped back to you instead of having to stuff it into your carry-on.
Exactly. But overall, it was a very fun week. Going back to work tomorrow will be a little bit difficult just because we were relaxing.
Wait, million-dollar question. What drink did you order at the world's first Starbucks?
Ooh, okay. That's actually a really good question. So I didn't want to get what I normally got, so I asked them because why not?
Right. And special. Yeah, make it special.
An iced Americano with their reserve roast, which they only have at the Seattle location,
okay,
I guess.
There you go.
Uh-huh. With 2 pumps of white mocha. And it was so good.
That sounds special.
Yeah.
When I went to the first Starbucks, this is
let me guess, you got a Java chip frappuccino.
This probably was like in 2000, maybe 9, 10. So I was not like a coffee drinker, but this was in the era when everyone loved the frappuccinos.
Of course.
So I'm pretty sure I got one of the one of the ones that did not have coffee in it. So I'm guessing it was either the
vanilla bean.
That one or the strawberries and cream frappuccino, but it was definitely one of those.
I bet they were much better than any other frappuccinos other Starbucks locations can make.
Obviously. But I was so dumb back then, and I was like bordering on like, I don't want to say hoarding because obviously that is a serious problem, but I loved keepsakes. And so I washed out my cup after I had
like your plastic cup?
Which had my name on it and took it home with me.
And it's pretty good.
It sat on my shelf for years, and I'm pretty sure I threw it out. Recycled. It maybe like just like 2 or 3 years ago because it has just been sitting there.
Yeah,
as my souvenir.
Speaking of recycling, I feel like Seattle is one of the few places I've been to that does a really good job of like compost, recycle,
trash. I can see that.
Like,
yeah.
Every single trash can you went to had 3 options, and it like explained which goes into what. Like food goes here, like plastic goes here, and
I mean
Oklahoma just probably is really behind on that. Is DC pretty good about it? I feel like they must.
Yeah, DC itself is very big on it and everything, and yeah, and has the same divided trash cans in every restaurant. And in DC itself, plastic straws are banned, and plastic bags you have to pay for them, 5 cents
okay.
per bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So I technically live in Virginia though, so they don't have the same policies as DC itself, which I feel like eventually it'll hopefully spread nationwide. So
yeah, no, I thought it was really cool. I was like, we are very behind in North
I know,
which is sad.
You know,
but
we are right in the middle of the country. It has to start on the coast and eventually
and
seep
its
way
its
in.
Way in.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I do. My pet peeve of the week does relate to my travel, so can I start?
I on this outline, so like we make a very loose outline for each episode, and I saw it on here because I didn't know what she was going to be talking about and laughed out loud. Okay, go.
Okay, so yes, pet peeve of the week, something that bothers us. This was very recent and very relevant. Oh my goodness. So my flight back from Seattle to Denver is where we were going, so it's about 2 hours-ish. It's not long, but it's like, you know, a decent
amount
bad.
Of time. But yeah, still a decent amount of time in the air.
Yeah. Okay. We are sitting in the plane. First of all, I am my seat is 38F, very back of the plane, literally the furthest back to the left you could sit, like the last row.
Okay. I actually don't mind that usually because.
Really?
Yeah, because you're like, you know, you're kind of apart from like from people with their like huge bags
Oh,
that like
that's
walk
true.
on slinging it around and
That's
everything. You're kind
true.
of, you know, back by yourself, so.
Yeah, that's true. I was just like, of course, because it took me forever to get back there. Then I get back there, and there is a woman in my seat. And I was like, ma'am, I have seat
Excuse me.
38F. And she said, oh, I just thought like I had 37F, but my husband's right here. So I just thought we could switch. And I was like, it'd be nice if you asked, but you know what? Whatever. I don't care.
You guessed wrong, no.
Yeah, you guess wrong. Get up. And so I was like, fine, whatever. So I sit down. Then I'm sitting next to this woman who actually got married in Baird Lounge in our union.
What?
She lives in
What a
Seattle.
coincidence.
Yes, she went to Norman High. She didn't go to OU, but she went to Norman High. And then she went to school somewhere else. I can't remember where. And she literally got married in our student union. Like,
That
Parker and I
is
know what room
so
this is. Like,
random. What are the odds?
small freaking world, right? So we're sitting, having a great time. And then all of a sudden, this man shows up with a baby. And he asks Baird Lounge lady next to me if he could switch her seats because he wants to be in the back to where he could like stand up and walk around, kind of where like the air hostess people are to like comfort his baby. And this woman is so nice. She said, yes, this is a seat right
What
next
is
to
with
him.
all of this seat switching? They're playing a game of musical chairs in the air, and I
I know,
don't
on
like
the
it.
plane. And this baby was not only crying, she was also sick.
Fussy.
And so you
Oh.
could like hear like it was
Oh, like
bad. It
creepy,
was
yeah.
so bad. I had my AirPods in, but they're not noise canceling AirPods. And I was so mad. But then finally, I think the one of the air hostess people, they were also kind of done with this man because he was kind of just changing up things as he pleased.
Oh,
They
taking
found him
over
a
the flight.
seat. I know they found him a seat at the very, not the very front, but the very front of basic economy, which is where I was, and where there was an empty seat next to him so he could lay the baby down. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I
That's
was,
good.
this baby just like would not stop screaming, and the dad didn't know what he was doing. And I feel for them because one day that'll probably be me holding a baby on a plane. And everyone's like, oh, great.
God, no. My thing is, if you have a baby, do not travel with them on a
Yes,
plane.
do not
I know,
travel.
right?
Freaking drive everywhere.
Exactly. Drive cross country. When you heard that the baby was sick, did you like slowly pull one of those face masks out of your bag, slide it on,
There were a
side-eye
ton of
glance?
people wearing those face masks in
There were.
Seattle.
I've seen a lot of those lately. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I was like, this is going to be the death of me. And luckily, baby moved, and then I was good. But seriously, yes, drive if you have a baby. And also, I don't know how okay this is, but one time I went on a flight and the woman next to me said she just gave her kid some Benadryl and knocked him out. Do everyone a favor.
Yeah, you know, especially if that poor baby was sick, I feel like you
Yeah.
definitely should have given it some type of medicine to help it sleep during the flight,
Yes.
because I'm sure going up in the air at that high altitude made this poor baby's sickness 10 times worse, you
Yeah.
know,
And
with
like
its
the
ears
ear
popping
popping.
probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my pet peeve, crying babies on planes. Ugh.
That's a good one. I feel like a lot of relate to that. I've been flying a lot more lately, and somehow there are always so many children on each
Of
flight. I'm like,
course.
how is this possible? Yes, I agree and empathize with that.
Thank you.
I
Wow.
know our pet peeves are a bit are kind of intertwined
Yeah,
this
I see
week.
that.
I didn't realize that the baby was sick. That was a pet peeve twist for you guys out
Yeah.
there. But yes, yeah, so I do not want to stoke the fire regarding fears of, you know, coronavirus or anything. But my thing is, especially just anytime during winter, during like cold and flu season, my pet peeve this week is coughing in public. I understand that coughing is a natural occurrence, a natural bodily tendency that sometimes cannot be stifled. My thing is, if you are going to cough in public, you better make sure you have a big puffy coat that you're gonna cough into, some nasty handkerchief that you can, I guess, cough into. I feel like no one under the age of 85 has one. But there are people who I've seen, usually it's when I'm in the enclosed metro going to and from work, who are just coughing in the air. I literally give them the dirtiest looks. And I almost thought about saying something to this one lady because she was going like, and it was just like these soft coughs that were so irritating over and over again. I'm like, are you serious? You know that like everyone is hating your guts right now because we're all hearing news about this coronavirus.
And here you are.
Virus is literal. I ain't trying to, I'm not trying to get sick. Hacking the entire way. I'm like, if you have to cough in public, you need to be coughing into something, having a mask, something.
It is just
so rude. And I don't understand why people are don't have that the awareness to realize that when you cough, it upsets everyone. It potentially, if you are super sick. And it just drives me insane. I have been extremely stringent about like hand washing lately. So anytime I like go anywhere in public, right when I get
home or at work,
wash my hands for like a minute straight because I'm just like,
oh, no, this is serious. People are really sick.
I know.
I wonder how many of Parker's pet peeves are going to be on the metro.
I feel like they're always exacerbated there because you're enclosed. So it just makes it 10 times worse. I know. But no, not just in the metro. Even people who like will walk by my like desk at work will be like coughing in the air. I'm like,
that's gross.
Do not be putting all that bacteria airborne.
That's how I would feel during standardized testing when people were sick. I was like, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Like the sniffles and the coughing and the sneezing. Just don't take a test. Just cancel it.
That sniffling is worse than coughing. That will drive me up the wall. And I totally agree. I think it was during one time when I was taking the ACT, I had a sniffler right behind me. And it was so annoying.
And you're trying to concentrate and then get some money from the school.
Your concentration so badly.
That is so funny. Well, I love this little segment of ours because it gives us each like a 3-minute segment.
Venting sesh.
You always need it. It's the small things that bother you.
It's freeing. So cathartic. This is my like weekly venting session.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I know Parker can't wait to get into the Grammy recap because if you listen to our last podcast, he's a little bit clairvoyant.
I am clairvoyant. I feel a little bit like gloating. So on episode one of the pod, we did a couple of predictions, but mainly for best new artists, because that one was a very competitive and exciting category. And I think everyone agreed that it was basically going to be Lizzo versus Billie Eilish. It was gonna be
absolutely
one of those two, probably. So just a quick recap. I don't want to dwell too much on the past, but Suresh had guessed Lizzo. I had guessed Billie Eilish. Lo and behold, Billie Eilish swept the main categories, was the big winner of the night. She won Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Best New Artist, everything. So
yeah,
we just wanted
she won a lot.
That was insane. And we talked a little bit about this before the pod, but I think everyone was definitely thought that she deserved some Grammys because her album was extremely popular. It was so new and unique and fresh. And I think even Billie thought this, that, you know, she wanted the Grammys love to be spread out to some of the other nominees. Just because she won every single main award. And I feel like that's what fans thought too. It just wasn't as exciting for one person to win everything.
Yeah.
Instead of kind of having someone else win Album of the Year and so on.
And I also feel like with Billie, when she said that, she probably was thinking, oh, I'm not done yet, because she's so young. So I feel like she's about to sweep even more coming up on stuff. And so since she's so new and so young too, like, I'm sure she was happy to win, but I also understand her saying, well, also I'm like 18 years old, so.
Right, which it's kind of crazy. And I feel like Billie is very like open and honest about kind of, her views on fame and everything.
Right.
I feel like it's got to be hard for her at 18 to already have such a career peak. You know, I feel like winning all of those main Grammys is something that so many artists kind of keep in the back of their mind as their motivation as they keep making music. But now it's like she's got it all. She's already had a number one song and everything. So now I don't know. I feel like that.
Where does she go next?
I know. I feel like that would be so hard for someone that young to already have such a career peak and already have like all those achievements.
Idea. We do the Disney Channel reverse. She goes into acting.
You know what?
She already sings.
I can make her an actress. She could definitely do like some of those like dark indie movies.
Yes.
I definitely could see her doing that.
She very much could. No, it was good. I'm happy for her. I really like her. When I saw her Instagram post with all her 5 awards, I was like, you know what? Like, she's not someone that gloats about it. I'm like, some.
Hey, that was very light gloating. I could have gone way more. I'll give it to you.
Light gloating. But it was very, I was very happy for Billy. But also, I mean, Lizzo, here's the other thing. I love Lizzo. I really do. I was in Seattle. And there was a group that was sitting behind.
She was there?
Yep, she was at the conference. Lizzo works. She's the director of a union.
New gig. Side hustle. You know Lizzo.
Well, we were sitting there, and while I was waiting, I was just on TikTok, as one does. And there's just so many people that make fun of Lizzo. And I'm like, this just... Right. I mean, one, I'm sure she knows how to deal with that stuff because of who she is. And, like, she's really confident. But I'm like... She's amazing. Like, I don't get why people are like constantly trashing her. But I think she's really good, and I really wish she would have won. I know she knows she's great, but I feel like that would have really helped.
Right, exactly. No, I totally agree. They are just like jealous of her success because she is just so groundbreaking in a lot of ways. But I was glad that she won one of the awards that was handed out during the show. It was it wasn't one of the main ones. I think it was best pop vocal performance or something like that. So I was glad that she was awarded publicly like that. But I know a lot of the Ariana stans were upset. A lot of the Lana Del Rey stans were upset, and a lot of the Taylor Swift stans were upset. Because of kind of what happened. I would say that I'm a stan light of all of those artists. Obsessed crazy stan, but I do think that Ariana should have won something because Thank You Next was such a humongous album. I mean, it was the number one in like streaming all year.
I forget this was this year, that's what I know, it feels so long ago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because I think it was almost just like 1 year ago, so it was, it was like a full year. But but since that album had at one point in time had the number 1, 2, and 3 songs in the country, I feel like it definitely deserved something, which I feel like Ariana is someone that doesn't care too much about Grammys, but it would have been extremely nice for that album to win something because it went home empty-handed.
I completely agree. I know. She, when I saw she didn't win anything, I forgot she was up because I was like, oh, Thank You Next was so long ago. But I realized we listened to Thank You Next last year when we lived together. And that was towards the end.
Exactly.
That was the second semester of your senior year, which it just feels way longer ago than it actually was.
I know. It was shocking. But yeah, after the Grammys, I kind of got back into a Thank You Next mood, actually. So I've been listening to that album a lot. It was nice. It's one of the few albums where like I know most of like every song. You know, there's a lot of albums that I... On Thank You Next, I like In My Head and Bad Idea recently, I would say. But that's probably just because those weren't as played as often as some last year. So I feel like those are still a little bit like newer and fresher because they weren't played on radio, you know, all the time.
Overplayed.
So I'd say those two. Oh, wait, sorry. I forgot about that. NASA, hands down, actually.
NASA's like, a great song. Or Bloodline would be my 2 favorite.
Yes, I like those 2 a lot. I feel like I've listened to those 2 too much now, where I'm like, oh, I'm kind of tired of them. But if I had to pick one, I would say NASA for sure.
Yeah, no, I love that. Speaking of amazing female performers, did you watch?
Hey, yo, good segue. Oh, girl, you know I did, and I've watched it on YouTube about 20 times since.
Holy cow. So I didn't get to watch it live, but I watched it on YouTube 20 times. When I found out it was both of them, I was like, okay, this is going to be good. But, like, I don't know, you know. Holy cow. Amazing.
So good. Amazing. Just the performance value itself with the amount of just dancing and all of the songs that they packed into it. It was just so entertaining and is exactly what a Super Bowl halftime should be.
Agreed.
I feel like you know, compared to the Snooze Fest of last year, sorry if there's any Adam fans out there from that boring show last year, but this was a great turnaround.
Yeah,
I know. I had forgotten who was the a performer even, because I was like, I have no idea.
Did you know, this is, you may have known this already, I didn't realize Super Bowl halftime performers don't get paid. Did you know that?
I had heard that, I think, last year, which, it kind of makes sense because they
get so much exposure.
And it's, yeah, I mean, it's the only event that's going to get you, like, around 100 million viewers live, at least. So,
I mean, it's definitely...
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. But yes, Shakira and J-Lo did an amazing job. I had forgotten about some of their songs. You know, I feel like they're not people who they're not. I haven't listened to their songs in a while because they.
Right.
I feel like recently they haven't had like a song that was super popular, but they both have some really good past hits.
Yes, no, they do. And I think what blew me away, which was a tweet I saw afterwards, it said, how old is Shakira? Do you know? Is she 46, 43, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I think okay, and J-Lo's 50.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it said, J-Lo is 50, Shakira is whatever she is, 43. And on an unrelated note, I'm going to the gym tomorrow. I love that.
Motivation.
Like, these older women are showing people, like, it's totally possible. Like, they're, like, going on stage, rocking it. They're not young. Like, I think that
exactly,
is so
cool. Exactly, exactly. And it totally bucks that trend that I feel like the Hollywood and the music industry has kind of enforced that, oh, once especially a woman artist gets 30 plus, that they're longer relevant. No longer cool and everything. So, yeah, they definitely did a good job proving those theories wrong, because I don't feel like there were two artists currently who could have provided such a entertaining show as those two did. So
I completely agree. It was really entertaining to watch. It was awesome that it was in Miami, of all places.
Yes.
That was cool.
Did you see all of those tweets talking about how it was so surprising that Pitbull wasn't there, and how he was watching at home, super depressed because
Mr.
he wasn't
Worldwide.
There at a Miami show? Well, it was a bit surprising, but I think it would have been a little bit too obvious, to have him there.
Pitbull
I would have been
there.
Like, oh, he's back again. Yeah, with he's collaborated with J-Lo so often too.
Yeah, no, I he's good. I've seen him live once in Miami, but I feel like
That you did see him. Yeah,
yes, it was just like he was like performing on the streets or something. It wasn't like a concert or anything like that.
Wait, no, I thought he was the special guest for the Taylor Swift concert you saw.
He was also at the Taylor Swift concert, but I think he did like one song to open for Taylor Swift.
Okay,
she also
gotcha.
Had like five openers. Dwayne Wade was there. He didn't perform.
Oh, really?
But he showed up.
That's
and
so
he like, gave Taylor a jersey, and then Pitbull was there, and then she had Vance Joy opened for her too. She that was the tour she brought on anyone and everyone she could find in like the 50 mile radius.
Right, yes, that was the 1989 tour, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
which
cool.
I'm sure we'll get into in a second, but did you watch Miss Americana?
I did watch Miss Americana.
Me too.
I totally forgot about that. Okay, we'll talk about it.
Discuss.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, yeah. So I think Miami was a good location, and they did a good job of, I don't know, just showing people like a lot of culture, and just it's
right.
a Super Bowl, an American sport, but also like this was really cool to like blend into it.
Exactly. And I loved the political statement that they made in the like in the last kind of mashup with like J-Lo had her costume was a mix of the Puerto Rican and
the
American flag while they sang the Born in the USA song, which I loved.
Did you see the significance behind the purple and yellow lights for Kobe? Did you see that?
Oh yeah. I didn't realize it when I first watched it, and then when I was kind of reading some of the recaps,
yeah,
I saw that. So, yeah,
that was cool
kind of
too.
Yeah, nice for them to include that. I do want to address the fake controversy surrounding it by people who were saying, which this is so annoying.
It wasn't appropriate for my kids to see them dancing in those costumes and on a pole.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. That argument is just so tired and old that like it's exhausting and boring even like defending it, because it's just so irrelevant and ignorant. But it was just, there are so many ways to counteract this argument. For one, Adam last year performed with his shirt off. No one said a word. So there's your first double standard for you. For one, this is a display of culture, of physical prowess,
yes,
of dancing, of entertainment. It was not, you know, it was not so overly sexual where it was obscene by any means. Please,
no.
Please. It was a performance, a physical performance. And guess what, hon? If your kids got, if you don't want your kids seeing that, take away their phones because they're watching worse online currently.
Absolutely.
I don't care who your child is. They are.
They are. Or they've seen it. And there's a fourth grader that I when I did my observation, she told me she watches Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And I was like, okay, like, obviously you're 8 or 9. Right. Like, watching that, like, you're fine watching something like the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Like, people just love to complain. And guess what? It comes at some of it comes from a place of jealousy because their people are sitting eating Cheese Whiz on a cracker, seeing how well these women can perform and how good they look dancing. So part of it comes from that place
just
as well.
Jealousy. Like,
people love to act high and mighty over dumb stuff. It's like,
I agree.
That argument is 20 years ago. So
you can get it, over it.
Can it. Right. Yes, exactly. That was annoying. But do you know what song that I had forgotten was such a bop after She-Wolf? I had forgotten.
I love She-Wolf.
I had forgotten about that song so much. I think it was on one of the Just Dance games, right? Like,
I think so. You know, it was.
Okay, I just had not like listened to it in years, but she started it with that. I was like, ooh, that is such a good song.
It is. Oh, I know. I need to go back and listen to some more of both of them after that show because it's just, their music is just fun. It's literally
fun. Yeah, it's upbeat. It's fun. Did you see that on the iTunes chart, which that iTunes isn't what people use anymore, but it is kind of reflective of what people are listening to because even though people aren't using iTunes anymore, but Shakira had the number one song, which was Wherever, Whenever, or Whenever, Wherever, or Wherever, Whenever?
I think it's Wherever, Whenever.
Wherever those two words are, that song was number one, and then Waka Waka and She-Wolf also were in the top 10. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Awesome.
That a like 20-year-old song is topping charts after it. So and then on YouTube, it's already the most viewed Super Bowl halftime show ever, because I think on Friday it was already up to 100 million views. So
oh
I was
gosh.
Like, wow, that's insane.
That's a lot.
Like,
how
I said,
many of that, how
20
many of those
to 30
were
of those are mine. Yeah. A lot are mine.
No, that was a really, really good performance. I feel like every Sunday there's been something on TV to watch recently,
right?
Which is fun. Which
really
tonight
has, yeah,
we have...
it's gone. Yeah, the Oscars now, because it went SAG Awards, Grammys,
Super Bowl,
and now Oscars.
Yeah. After this, is there anything after this?
I don't think there's anything
next Sunday.
Not that I know of. I think Oscars is kind of the finale of
awards
season.
All the awards.
So it kind of ends everything. But yeah, so should we go ahead and delve into what's happening tonight?
I am so excited. I'm also excited to see if Parker and I have not discussed who we think is going to win. What?
This is off the cuff, people. So
I'm interested to see if we disagree here and there, which I'm sure we will.
Possibly,
but yes.
Maybe, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully there's some fighting.
Exactly. You're in for a treat, you guys. But yes, Oscars are tonight, 8 Eastern, 7 Central.
Yes.
Plugging that to watch on ABC. They are hostless again this year.
I saw that.
They were last year. Now, I am actually a fan of not having a host.
I agree.
I think
me too. It's
kind
too much.
I mean, it's too much. It makes the show longer than the 3 hours it already is.
Right.
Usually their jokes aren't great anyway. So, you know, I feel like it's fine just not to have a host.
I completely agree. I like the idea of no host. Because then they always make these jokes and they're not that funny and it's just...
Exactly. It's just kind of stale.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so do we want to go through, like, we talked about maybe doing the 5 categories.
Right. Yeah, let's do that. So we are going to go through the 5 kind of the main categories, and let's do who we think will win and who we want to win, because
okay.
I think that differs a lot.
I agree. So let's save Best Picture for last.
Okay. Good idea. So let's start with the supporting acting categories. Okay. So I'm pulling up the nominees. Okay. So performance by an actress in a supporting role. So here are the five. Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, didn't see. Laura Dern in Marriage Story. Scarlett Johansson, Jojo Rabbit. Florence Pugh in Little Women. And Margot Robbie in Bombshell.
Oh boy, this is going to be tough because I'm really...
Good category, yeah.
This is a good category. So, who do you want to win this?
Okay, I feel like mine are the same, actually. Who I want to win and who I think will win is going to be Laura Dern, Marriage Story.
I'm on the exact same boat.
Right.
Yeah.
She's won, I think, all of the awards leading up to it. So I think she's pretty much a shoo-in at this point. Her role in this movie was very good. And I think this also is kind of like a lifetime achievement Oscar in a way for her, because mm-hmm. she's never won an individual acting award, an Oscar. And she's someone who's been so prevalent in pop culture recently, especially with everything. So I think she's very, very, very well equipped to win this Oscar. If I had to say a second one, I would say I feel like Margot Robbie eventually needs an Oscar too, because she's had a lot of good performances recently. I thought that she should have won for I, Tonya. Mm-hmm. I guess that was 2 years ago, maybe, because that was so good. But yeah, I think Laura Dern for this category.
I'm in the same boat. I Margot Robbie would be my second one too, because I really like her. I think she's really good.
Yeah, me too.
But Laura Dern, she deserves it, and I think she'll probably win. Her divorce lawyer role she played, it's just too good. It's too
right.
good.
Right. It was perfect. Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I told you that. I was kind of worried when I first watched it, because I was thinking, oh, it's a bit similar to her role of Renata Klein. I was like,
oh,
it might
yeah,
be kind of similar to it, with them both being very like professional and like very outspoken and
yeah.
Exaggerated. But no, it was very much a different role from that. So.
I agree. She was much more empathetic in Marriage Story.
Right, definitely.
Okay, so we're on the same boat on actress in the supporting role.
Yeah, we've agreed so far. Okay, so performance by an actor in a supporting role. Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. So that's where he played Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes. Al Pacino in The Irishman. Joe Pesci in The Irishman. Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Suresh, your thoughts.
So I'm not going to lie. I have only seen one of the movies out of those five, I think.
Right. I'm not.
I've only seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm not going to sit through 3 hours of The Irishman. Not going to do it.
It's very long from what I've heard. I have seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So I'm between that one and Tom Hanks. I'm between Brad Pitt and Tom Hanks. But I think I want Brad Pitt to win. And I also think he will win for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Wow, we are on the same page again. I agree. I want and do think that Brad's going to win. He has an Oscar from producing, but I don't think he has an acting Oscar. So I think he's definitely due to win for an acting award. So I think, and he's won a lot of the lot of the other ones so far too. He won at the Golden Globes and SAG Awards. So mm-hmm. I feel like that Brad is definitely due for a win here.
Yes, I agree. I'm really excited for him. And I think he will win. I think that movie, have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it, but I feel like I would definitely like it, because I love anything that's like old Hollywood kind of, you know?
Yeah, it's really good. It's pure entertainment. That's it. Like, you're just watching, you're just entertained the entire time. The plot is fine, but I think overall you're just watching just because it's humorous, it's good, it's drama, and it's all
right.
Very Hollywood-esque and very like overplayed, stereotypical Hollywood. But I
gotcha,
like it.
Gotcha.
I
know. I was gonna go see that yesterday, actually, but it's been out for a long time, but they like they had it released in certain theaters, but it was like it was a longer version, and it was so long. I was like, I don't know if I want to. It was
if
like,
I can do that.
It was more than 2.5 hours. So I'm like, I can't.
Yes, not what I want.
Okay, so let's go. So we've agreed so far. So this I think we're about to fighting. Start disagreeing. Okay, let's go and do performance by an actor in a leading role.
Okay.
First, we have Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory. Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Adam Driver, Marriage Story. Joaquin Phoenix, Joker. And Jonathan Pryce, Two Popes.
What are you thinking?
Okay, I will be honest. I don't really know anything about Pain and Glory or The Two Popes. So those two, I have nothing about. I haven't really heard much about them either. So I think that those two aren't going to win. So for me, I think it's between Adam Driver and Joaquin, because Joaquin has been the favorite. So I think that he probably will win. But for me, I would have voted for Adam Driver, Marriage Story. Because for one, Adam has been in a lot of movies lately where he's done such a great job. Because it was kind of funny because he was kind of started out his career as a side character on the show Girls, which I did not watch, but like that was kind of where he, you know, first started. And then all of a sudden he started getting all of these like huge roles. He was in Star Wars, obviously, as Kylo Ren. That was his main like big role. And then he was in Green Book last year, which won Best Picture. And now he's been in Marriage Story. I thought he did such a good job in Marriage Story of being just, it was a very real performance, you know, it just felt very real. It may have been a little bit actory at times where you could, you know, tell it was a certain role that was, you know, built for Oscars and things like that. Yes. But I thought he did such a good job, and you definitely did feel really bad for him at some points, but also like didn't like him at some points too, whenever he was fighting with Scarlett. So
yeah,
I would vote for Adam Driver for Want to Win. Joaquin probably will win.
Did you know Adam Driver used to be in the Navy? Did you know that?
I saw that. That is crazy. He's like done everything.
He has. He was like, oh, can't do Navy anymore. I'll just go into acting and win Oscars left and right.
That's crazy.
No, he does a good job. So we do agree on Joaquin Phoenix will probably win. Like, I'm pretty sure he will. I also want him to win. So I watched Joker twice. Have you seen it yet?
You watched it twice? No.
Yes.
I am not going to see it just because from what I've heard, I don't think it would be good for me to watch it. So I'm not going to.
It is a lot. Like watching it, it is very much like you're watching. It's one of those movies you leave super stressed out because it's just constantly going. I think he does such a good job. Just like one playing the, you know me, I think we both don't love superhero movies that much, but this wasn't like your typical like superhero movie, which was nice. But he just, I think the conversation about mental health, like if he didn't do such a good job, I think could have gone a completely different direction than it did.
Right. Exactly.
So I really like him. I think he did a good job, and he also had to follow a previous Joker that everyone was in love with, and he had to follow in his footsteps. So I completely understand, like, everyone was like, oh, who knows if he's gonna do it justice, but I think he did do the role justice. I think I want him to win. I think he's gonna be really, really good.
Yeah, I think he definitely will win, and that'll be interesting because this will be the second iteration of the Joker that will win an acting award, because Heath Ledger won in 2008 or 9 or something. So that is interesting that two incarnations of this role will of probably win an Oscar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Performance in a leading role. We have Cynthia Erivo and Harriet, Scarlett Johansson once again in Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan, Little Women, Charlize Theron, Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger in Judy. Ooh. Once again, a stacked category. Yes. Suresh, your thoughts?
So I think from what, I'm not gonna lie, but I've also only seen, I wish I watched Little Women. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's really, really good.
I know, me too. I haven't seen it yet.
I really want to watch it. I hear it's awesome. I think where I'm at is, have you seen Judy?
No, I feel like no one has seen Judy.
I feel like no one has seen Judy, but I feel like everyone has a lot of faith in her as an actress from what I've heard. So I feel like she's going to win. I feel like Renee is going to win. No one has seen it, but everyone keeps raving about her potentially winning. So I think she's going to win. I think who I would want to win, I really liked Bombshell, and I think Charlize did a really good job too, but I didn't like, I'm not gonna lie, I did not like Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story. I thought she kind of fell flat a little bit.
No, I think she was definitely overshadowed by Adam and Laura.
Yes, she was.
In Marriage Story. She was. Yeah.
So I think I would have to say Renee will probably win, and I would probably want Charlize to win.
Okay, well, we are exactly synced on.
Are you serious?
That one as well, yep. I definitely think that Renee is going to win. This is her like big comeback role because she hasn't really been in much. But she had won an Oscar back in the early 2000s for Cold Mountain is what it's called. Have not seen it. It was a war movie or something like that. But yeah, kind of, yeah, I feel like no one has seen Judy, but everyone thinks that she was fantastic in it and is going to win. So she'll probably win. And I agree. I feel like Charlize was Megyn Kelly in that film. Like, it was part makeup, you know, of course, part hairstyling, but just her demeanor, her voice, she completely morphed into that, into Megan in that role. So I think I would definitely would want Charlize to win.
Me too. Okay, I guess then it comes down to the big category.
Dun, 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 dun. Best picture. So I'm on the Oscars website right now, and for whatever reason, they didn't put Best Picture first. So now I'm like scrolling through. Okay, I found it. Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite.
I would give this award to like five movies.
A cat. I know. I forgot that there were so many nominations for this. I was like, how many movies are nominated for this? There's 10, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Nine.
Oh, no, 9. Okay. Sorry, 9. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to differ. I know we're going to differ. So.
Okay.
Here's what I think is going to win. I'm going to be very clear that I don't want this movie to win, but I think 1917 is going to win. Everybody's raving about how well it's done, the film itself, the cinematography, and I get it's probably like I haven't seen it, but I know it's like done really and because it's like it's a one shot movie, right? Like it's all shot like trying to look like one.
Well, exactly, yeah, which sounds interesting. I'm not sure how I would feel watching.
It's very immersive because it feels less like directed and produced than it is. Good, and I feel like everyone's like it does such a good job, and so whatever. I haven't seen it, but I feel like it's gonna win, so be it. Congrats 1917. However, what I really want to win, and I know there's no way this movie will win, but I think, Parker, it has made my top three favorite movies of all time. Jojo Rabbit.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Freaking good. I already bought it. I own it already. It's on Amazon Prime.
Wait, you already did?
Yes. I love it. I think it's done super. It was on the plane too when we were flying to Denver. It was on the plane, which is really fun.
Perfect. Yeah.
But I think it's so funny. I think it tastefully kind of hits on that piece of history that no one really wants to talk about. I read a quote. I think I told you about this, but someone said the director of Jojo Rabbit really puts a lot of faith in a kid trying to retell a piece of history in a entertaining light, but it works. Like it just does such a good job, and it's very immersive, like the costume design. I also think Jojo Rabbit will probably win in costume design only because it does such a good job of like making you feel like they're really in that time. But it's heartwarming. It's funny. It's sad. It's everything. I love it. I think it's such a good film.
Okay, right. No, yeah, I definitely am wanting to see it now. I think a lot of people just heard that it was like a comedy about Hitler. So that was kind of like why they didn't want to see it.
I
think now it's definitely coming back around where people are like, no, it is actually, yeah, it actually
it's
was
actually good.
Like, heartwarming tale. I had no idea that Rebel Wilson was in Jojo Rabbit. I saw her post about it and I edited herself into the poster and I was like, oh no, she was actually in it. That's
she
crazy.
Was. And you know, Rebel Wilson's one of those people that sometimes people throw her in a film to like save it or like to make it fun. She doesn't
spice
overdo it.
She
doesn't have like a role that just feels added. She does a pretty good job of like not taking over, I guess.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I had no idea, but I definitely do want to see that because after your recommendation, definitely want to.
It's good.
Okay. So we do differ on this one, and I'm gonna differ on both of them. So that way, for Best Picture, it's a little bit different, and I'm in,
okay.
And so that way, next week, you can see. So, I'm going to say I think will win. So I think it's right now it's between 1917, like you said, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Those two I feel like are the front runners for will win. 1917 had a lot of the early heat because it wanted the Golden Globes and everything. But in the past couple years, the best picture has been surprising, where it's been not a certain movie that's won all of the awards.
Right.
Like Moonlight and The Shape of Water.
Do you mean La La Land? Or...
Sorry, La La Land, Moonlight. That whole mess. So I'm going to go with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for is going to win, because I think it has had some momentum, but not a ton.
Yes.
And of course, people in Hollywood love movies about Hollywood.
Yes.
Those have won a lot. That's why La La Land, you know, was so popular, even though it didn't win. And it has just a very like pedigree cast too.
It
even
does.
Though Quentin Tarantino is very, you know, films are met with a lot of criticism, and he himself is met with a lot of criticism and controversy. I'm going to predict that one, so we'll see.
Okay.
I think either 1917 or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to win, but I'm going to go with that one for will win.
Okay.
Would want to win.
I know.
Is which you and I talked about earlier is Parasite.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Parasite. So bad.
It's so good.
It's hard for a movie to supersede expectations, especially when it's been talked about so positively as Parasite. So when I went in to watch it, I already had such high expectations because everyone has been raving about it for months now.
Yeah.
Because it came out like last October, I think. And it's
been
still
a while.
Been showing in theater. So it's continually kind of gained momentum. It did win the best ensemble at the SAG Awards, which is very exciting. So it does. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is kind of a small chance, but I do think that a lot of the Academy voters who are a little more traditional aren't going to vote for a foreign film to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
Even though that one French movie won like a long time ago, not like maybe like 10 years ago, it was that that silent black and white movie called The Artist one. But I think, you know, which this goes into a lot more
political, yeah,
political, where they're like, oh, French movies are so, you know, haute couture, blah blah blah, even though movies from Korea have been very like acclaimed and very popular within the past 20 years. So I would love to see Parasite win, and it's very topical too with its kind of commentary on classism. I think it's very topical and current, and I could talk about it for a long time, but again, we are not trying to make this podcast last 2.5 hours, but
I
was amazed. It was so good.
I will say, I think it's the very interesting part of Parasite. Sorry, last thing on the Oscars. But no one ever told me what Parasite was about. Everybody raved about it, but no one knew how to talk about what it was about without giving
right.
it away.
And that's like, true. That's true.
Like that, I think, played a lot into when I watched it. I was expecting really good things, but I didn't know what I was expecting at all. And so when I it literally blew my mind. I actually watched it very recently last night, and I also really liked it. I hope if Jojo Rabbit doesn't win, I hope Parasite would.
Right. And yeah, and I definitely do hope that Parasite wins something. I think it has a chance in best original screenplay. It's definitely.
Yes.
It definitely will win the best international feature. Yeah, hands down,
I
will win that one. So I'm glad that it definitely will be an Oscar-winning movie, no matter what.
Yes, it deserves it. Okay, my last point on the Oscars is I'm very shocked Knives Out didn't make the best picture category.
Oh, I know. I think
that was shocking.
Which, it was nominated in best screenplay. So
I saw that.
I'm happy to say that. But yeah, I think it's just because it's not a traditional genre that people think of as best picture, but it was really
good.
It's
so good. And I feel like everyone I've talked to has really liked it. So I'm like, but I know I saw it in an original screenplay and I was like, all right, fine. Give it that.
Right.
But I think Parasite might win that. So I don't know.
Right. Did you see that they officially announced that there's going to be a Knives Out sequel?
No, that's exciting. I mean, I guess it makes sense on how it ended a little bit.
Kind of sequel, I should say. So it's gonna have Daniel Craig's character back, but I think he's the only one coming back. So it'll be
Got
like
it.
hit the same detective in like solving a different style case.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
Kind of a sequel in the same, you know, universe, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, that's exciting. Well, I know. Find out tonight what actually wins and what wants to win. My job at the union, we're hosting an Oscars watch party tonight, so I'll be watching through, kind of working at the same time, which, what a job.
Yeah, exactly. You got a lot going on.
But that'll be very, very fun to see if any of our, even if it's your choices that win, if any of ours end up winning.
Right, exactly. It seemed like we agreed on most things, but had a few differences.
Okay, so now that we've dove what is it?
Dived or dove, I'm not sure.
Into
dove
the Oscars.
Deep into everything. Head first.
Head first. We tried to go to a speakeasy in Seattle called Deep Dive, so full circle there.
So cultured, wow.
We are, so hopefully after tonight we can kind of see who guessed correctly. Parker and I have placed $200 bets on each of the categories.
A huge wager. So tune in to see who goes bankrupt next week.
But we did want to discuss a little bit. We like to discuss kind of what we've been up to in the pop culture / just our interest realm of things. So starting with books, while traveling, I feel like I read a lot on the plane. So I actually finished before leaving Woman in the Window, and I told Parker about that.
There you go.
Loved it. So good. I actually texted Parker at one point while I was reading it. I don't like insert character name here. And I was kind of right. This person gave me vibes.
So both of us are clairvoyant then, because you predicted that. Yes, I got multiple all caps texts from Suresh freaking out about things that happened, which, if you have read this book, you'll understand, because it has some bonkers twists. Yeah.
Also, it is my favorite thing when Parker and I read the same book, and then one of us texts, whoever's not done yet will text the other, oh my God!
Right, exactly.
It's so fun.
It's a lot more fun.
And then I wanted to give a shout out to our friend, Samantha Savio. She wrote and published a book of poems, a poetry collection, titled Spaces. And I took it with me on the plane because I was like, oh, you know, it's fairly short. And I read it, and it was actually really good. There's one poem in particular. I actually already told her this. So, Sam, if you're listening, no surprise here. It's called Crimson and Cream. And it was sweet because it was about our alma mater, which is really just about Norman and OU in general. So shout out to author Sam.
That's awesome. You go, Sam.
Yeah, so I read that, and now I'm reading a book Parker got me for my birthday called Lock the Door. I just started it. I'm very into the beginning of it right now. So that's kind of what I've been reading.
Nice.
Kind of nice, because I took a little break from the mystery, read some poetry, and now I'm back on the mystery.
Back on the wagon.
What have you been reading? Any classic books?
I have not been reading much lately. I'm not sure why. I just have not been in that mindset. I am still on my number one on my classic book challenge list. So I'm about a third of the way through 1984.
Okay.
I do like it so far, and it is good, and it is pulling me in a little bit more with what's happening. Right. So I definitely will finish it. I did pick up a different mystery thriller because I kind of wanted to have that as alternative programming to my classic book challenge.
Okay.
And I picked up this book called Day Four, and it was about a mystery on a cruise ship. And I was like, ooh, that sounds good. Cause
Woman in Cabin 10.
Exactly. Kind of similar thing. I love mysteries when they're in like a enclosed setting like that, where it's very like insular. So whether it's happening in, you know, a hotel or a cruise ship. I started it. I don't think I'm going to finish it, just cause the writing style was a lot different from a lot of the mysteries and thrillers that we've read recently. And I just couldn't get into it. I can't explain why, but it just wasn't my type of writing style.
Yeah.
So I probably will not finish it. I only probably read maybe the first 20 pages or so.
Already can
didn't
tell
love
you
it.
Don't like it.
Yeah, and didn't want to waste my time. So we'll be continuing to read 1984. It will probably be 2084
by the time
I finish it.
Hey, since
hopefully not.
love mystery books set in enclosed spaces. And since you have a lot of pet peeves on enclosed spaces, I think you should write a book titled Murder on the Metro. It could be a first hand look.
Didn't that happen in an episode, which I stopped watching at this point, of The Following season, like the very end of that show?
Oh my gosh,
I feel like
yes.
Something happened.
No, it did. It was the very end with Kevin Bacon, who's trying to catch, what was his name? Joe something. The serial killer. No, you're right.
Me out so much.
That show is a lot. That show's a lot to watch.
So speaking of The Following, let's go ahead and go into what we've been streaming recently as far as TV and movies.
Yes.
So I guess not necessarily streaming, but just watching as well.
Yeah.
So Suresh, I know that you have been enraptured by a show at the forefront of the cultural zeitgeist recently.
Okay.
What is it?
Okay, listen, I'm going to defend myself in saying I understand the show is on season 24, but I was never into it until now. I am hooked on The Bachelor. Like, hook, line, sinker, whatever those words are, whatever order it is.
That was it. You got it.
Thank you. This week, they did two episodes, which I didn't realize they did that sometimes.
Oh, really?
There was a Monday and a Wednesday episode. But since I was at the conference, I couldn't watch them. So I watched them, of course, yesterday, both back to back. And listen, anyone who watches The Bachelor should know. Parker, have you kept up with it yet?
I haven't. I've seen all of the stuff on social media, but I don't know any of the characters.
Okay.
I mean contestants well enough yet.
Ooh. Tammy was this one girl who was kind of like a bro. Like, you know, she was kind of like one of those, like, I was like, there's no way her and Peter are gonna end up together, because she kind of just like a fun bro. This girl, I think, turned out to be the villain of the season.
Oh, really?
Has started so much drama. At one point told another girl, you are nothing to me. And it was like literally so intense. But this last episode, five girls got sent home.
Uh-oh.
And like not even during the rose ceremony. He asked people to leave before the rose ceremony.
Ooh,
and one of the girls
always juicy.
Was so mad that she was asked to leave when he was walking around. He said, you're going to find someone great one day. And she said, I know. And she got in her van.
Good for her. I kind of like that, actually.
I agree. I love
one last middle finger to Peter.
But McKenna is the whiniest character. Sorry, you're right, contestant, on the show. She left. I said, bye, McKenna. She, at the end of every episode before the rose ceremony, would say something like, he just doesn't know my heart yet. Girl, you've had six episodes. Get it together.
Get that one-on-one time, girl.
Yes,
come
on. Can I steal you for a second? And I just,
can I interrupt for a second?
I am hooked. And there's a girl, her name is Kelly. She isn't going to win because she's too normal, but she would be amazing. She's awesome, but she's like way too sane to win this show.
Oh, gotcha. So maybe she'll be the next Bachelorette.
I hope so. She would be really, really good. She's an attorney and she has her life together. And so that's kind of what I've been kind of hooked on recently. And I watched both of them yesterday. So I have a lot of feelings about McKenna, Tammy, Kelly, Victoria F, Victoria P, everybody.
They always somehow cast two girls with the same name.
I'm
every
not
season.
Surprised.
There's at least one with, you know, where they have to refer to his first name than last name.
Which
initial.
Is so like anxiety invoking for these people during the rose ceremony, because like,
oh,
Victoria
they're in the rose ceremony,
F,
yeah.
And Victoria.
Victoria.
P, like,
wait, ..
Yeah.
That's true. That's
what
true.
I've been watching recently, and it's been pretty good entertainment to just have on in the background, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, I've heard that a lot of people are thinking that Peter has been kind of too spineless this season, and that the girls have kind of been like walking all over him
and
been kind of controlling like what's happening more than like he himself is.
Some people think Peter's the villain because he just doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know how to make a dang decision.
Also, you said that Tammy, who under the age of 40 is named Tammy? That's kind of weird.
No, that's like, a good point.
That someone that young is named Tammy? What?
Tammy's actually 54. Did I forget to mention that?
We've got a cougar this season. I would actually love that. That would be such good television if they brought in like a couple
like
older women.
That would be fun.
There was a show a while ago. I didn't watch it, but it was called like The Age of Love or some cheesy name like that. And it was It was a guy who was like in his 30s, and they brought in half the women were in their 20s and half were in their 40s. Oh my gosh. it was like a competition over which age or something like that. I did not watch it. I'm pretty sure it only lasted one season, but
I'm not surprised.
I thought that like that was kind of funny. Yeah,
that is funny. Wait, what have you been watching recently? Any good movies or anything?
Yeah, so I've been in very much a movie streaming kind of mood lately. Okay. I feel like I normally stream more television shows, but recently I've just been like streaming a lot of different movies. Every kind of month, you know, new stuff gets added, obviously, to these streaming platforms. And so if you guys don't know, the website decider.com, which I also use if there's a certain movie that I'm wanting to stream, you can like type in its name and it tells you which platforms it's on. Mm-hmm. They do a good job of like of posting articles of like what's new. So a movie that I really had been wanting to see and had not been on streaming for a while was The Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And it was put onto both Hulu and Amazon Prime. Oh. So if you don't want ads, watch it on Amazon Prime. But anyway, it was really good. It freaked me out. It's very much one of those like, you know, smart, clever horror movies.
Right.
Where it's a little bit satirical, a little bit, you know, it has some commentary on horror movies as a whole. It was really good. It stars a younger Chris Hemsworth. It was one of his kind of, I think maybe he had done the first Thor movie by then, because this came out in like 2012, but I think it might have been filmed earlier. So, but it was really good. Have you seen it, Cabin in the Woods?
So actually, it's funny you say that. I'm pretty sure we watched it in our Crimson Park apartment while we were waiting for you to get off work at football one time.
Wait, really?
I'm almost certain that there was like a football game that all of us decided to watch Cabin in the Woods. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep because I was so tired. It was after a football game, but because we had left at like halftime, but you had to stay for something.
Weird.
And so I'm pretty sure we all hung out afterwards, but in that meantime,
they actually did like
Cabin in the Woods.
They actually did like not invite me, and we're like, no, yeah, you were like working. No, okay.
No, I'm pretty sure we watched it, but I fell asleep because I was so tired and I didn't really get into it. But if it's on those two streaming platforms, I may actually have to watch it, especially if you like it.
I would not watch it alone, is what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
The last 20 minutes especially are terrifying, and I did have to not watch a couple of the gorier parts because I do not enjoy that. But the plot was very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's very much bucks a lot of the, you know, what you come to a lot of the tropes, but then embraces them in like a very smart way too.
Yeah,
I would call it like it pretty much like if parts of The Hunger Games were a horror movie.
Okay.
It's kind of similar to that, I would say.
Okay. I like it.
But it was very smart. So yeah, I streamed that recently. I've just been watching a lot of movies, but that was what I watched yesterday.
Yeah. Very recent.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. Even though, yeah, like, we are reporting on movies that came out 8 years ago, you guys. Breaking news.
Yeah, we are very with the times on this podcast.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, it was just put on streaming. And I actually went through and made a list of all of the movies that I want to watch. Phantom of the Opera is now back on some of the streaming platforms, which it used to be a while ago, but it's back on.
Yeah, so I haven't seen that either. I will be
watching that shortly, probably. Yes.
That's awesome. I know. I need to get back in the movie run. I'm very much on the TV show like grind right now. Just something short, fast. Like
yin and yang, TV movies.
Wow,
we're bringing everything. We're bringing everything here.
Yes.
Okay, so should we go into music?
Yes. I have been listening to quite a bit of music just with, you know, flying. I feel like you always have your headphones in, but.
Right. There's been a lot of new stuff out too. Let's see, Halsey, yes. Dua Lipa, Meghan Trainor, Kesha.
Kesha, I know. I've been very excited about Kesha.
Oh, speaking of music/streaming, we teased this earlier, so we've got to talk about it. Miss Americana.
Taylor Swift documentary. Yes.
So, I mean, that technically goes with music because the new single, Only the Young, which was featured in the documentary, did come out as well. So
I watched it. It was some night last week or before I left. I really liked it. I thought it was super well. I thought Taylor was actually being fairly authentic because sometimes I question her authenticity. But I feel like she did a really good job. I don't know, it went back to the whole Kanye thing, obviously, is where she started, because that's when her, like, confidence started going down, which truthfully, what I didn't know, she was 17 when that happened.
Right.
How do you do that to a 17-year-old?
Exactly. That's what makes it so much worse. And I think part of why it was such a big deal
yeah.
is that it was a 17-year-old girl who was new to the music industry. And yeah. so, right, and exactly.
I really liked it. I thought all her, like, it kind of got me back into Taylor Swift mood. So I started listening to some of her again.
Right, right.
But it was done really well. And I mean, there were parts of it where she was being very real. And there's one part I liked where she was eating burritos and she was just talking about, like, just her life and how it's kind of already planned for her. And I didn't think about that, but like, she gets her 2021 tour dates already. So like planning for like artists, like that really sucks. Like your whole life is basically, at least your short-term immediate life is really planned for you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. She's kind of talking about how she wasn't pretty much free to do anything she wanted because it was so planned out and determined for her at some points. Yeah, I agree. I loved it. I love any of the kind of behind the scenes docs like that.
Yes.
That kind of, you know, go behind the scenes. And it showed a lot of interesting snippets from like her songwriting process, mm-hmm. from her concert.
That was cool.
Which I love that because I love seeing how some of the lyrics were originally
before they changed how, like, them.
They've changed because you hear them and if they always sound so kind of weird and like not as good because obviously it's not like what actually made
what you
it onto
know
the,
yeah
onto the song. But I agree, I am a pretty big Swiftie, and so I will defend her from her critics no matter what.
Yeah,
and people will always come for her no matter what as well. She has so famous and so successful that she really can't win at a lot of things because she's so mainstream as well that obviously people love to detract from anything. So it showed her kind of dipping her toe into politics, but
yes,
I mean, it's exactly
good for her.
If she says nothing, people are going to say, oh, she needs to like use her platform. But if she says something, then people are going to argue, oh, she's just doing it to like to get attention about herself,
mm-hmm.
to kind of to shut the critics up, and things like that.
Right.
So
she can't
see
win.
It as, yeah, exactly. Any action that she takes is going to be viewed as calculated.
Yes.
Which, I mean, part of it has to be when you're that big of a star.
Agreed.
Especially, I mean, it is a double standard between men and women stars as well.
Yeah.
We give some of these men stars second chances over and over again, like Kanye.
Right.
Who, I feel like people have turned on him and now, I mean, see, I don't want to comment on his mental health issues because obviously there's
that's
lot there.
That's a real thing, yeah.
But he is very problematic, let's say.
No, that's a good way to describe him.
In a lot of ways himself, which I think most people agree and everything. So, yeah, it was a very good documentary and I showed a very kind of real side of Taylor, even though she is very like open with her within her songs.
Yes,
I feel like we often don't see a lot of her like
just
of her private life on camera as
I
well
agree.
It didn't show too much of her new boyfriend, I guess.
Oh yeah,
not that new now, it's been maybe 2 years or something, but it showed him here and there, but not
didn't
it didn't
really
show
get to
any
see,
like direct
like,
conversation
yeah.
or anything like that. Yeah. Which I think that was definitely a conscious choice. Like she now has evolved where she wants to keep a lot of that kind of
to
a lot
herself.
Of those things private. So
no, I completely agree, and I don't blame her because everything she does is looked at under a microscope. I feel like.
Right, exactly. Like people on Twitter are going to come for her. Which I saw people were saying that she was playing the victim yet again, which they've said for years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you can't play the victim when I mean, you can in some ways, but things have publicly happened to her
mm-hmm.
that we know about
mm-hmm.
that she was a victim towards. So how is she playing it when Kanye interrupted her speech? When
that wasn't calculated.
When her masters of her records were bought from her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things have actually happened. So she is a victim for it. She's not playing it.
She's not playing it. She is.
These things happen. Yeah, it's
I
not
agree.
These scenarios concocted in her mind. So it drives me crazy, but I think that she knows that too. She knows that anything that she does is going to come under microscope, but she does have such a fervent fan base too that like she
does
have a big group of people supporting her throughout everything.
I agree, and I think that's really that's good for her to have. It's funny that we talked about how we talk about movies that are very old on this podcast, we're also going to talk about artists we wish would come back.
Right. Exactly. I think there are a lot of artists that were either nostalgic for or, you know, had a good run, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago,
yeah,
who we would like to see make a return to prominence.
I would love that. Parker, do you want to talk about who you want to return back to be listening to recent music in 2020 from?
Sure. There are a lot of artists who obviously I want to be able to make a comeback. Obviously Britney is someone who's, but she's still been very,
she's still
like
a little
relevant.
Around, yeah.
She's been in still in the public eye, even though she hasn't had a new album now in about like 3.5 years. Anyway, someone who has been quiet, as far as like they're not really prevalent on social media, they're not really on, you know, award shows or anything, is the duo Carmen. So Carmen had a moment back in, I think, like the early 2010s with their song Acapella,
mm-hmm,
and Broken Hearted were their two like main popular songs.
I remember those vividly.
I was a big Carmen fan. They had an album called Pulses that had a lot of awesome songs on it. It was a fun mix of electronic music, you know, a little bit, but mostly pop music. A little bit of rapping here and there,
yeah,
too, like in acapella. But after Pulses, which came out when I was in high school, so it must have been now 6-7 years ago, they really haven't done anything very publicly. I'm guessing they probably still have maybe had music here and there, but it's not been
like,
you
popular,
know, super widespread or anything.
Right.
So I feel like they were so talented. I feel like their style of music could still be popular in 2020. Like it's still kind of, it still sounds current and modern, and they wouldn't have to really completely reinvent their sound, mm-hmm, to be popular. So I don't know what they're up to. Like maybe they didn't want to, you know, be in the public mainstream
maybe
eye anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my pick. So Carmen,
like Carmen.
If you're listening, come back.
Please come back. Parker would die.
Exactly.
That's
okay,
funny.
Sarish, now I saw yours on the outline and was confused. I wasn't sure who it was, what was going on, and
well, it's someone who I wish would come back, so I don't think you've probably heard of the man.
Right. Okay. So why don't you go ahead
okay
with whoever this is, because
I was having a hard time picking somebody, and then I was like, oh, I know who, mainly because this person was kind of like, I think you might agree, Parker, a one-hit wonder. Kamaljit Singh Jyoti. Now, you might be wondering, who is Kamaljit? And I didn't even know this was this artist.
Good old Kamaljit.
But if you all remember from 2009, 2010, I can't remember exactly which year it was, the song Down by Jay Sean. Jay Sean is Kamaljit.
Never have guessed that. That was a shocking piece of pop culture trivia.
Okay, but truthfully, where did he get Jay Sean from? Kamaljit Singh Jyoti. Where did he, maybe Jay from his last name, but like
Jay Singh or something?
But
yeah,
like Jay became Sean, Jay Sean. I don't really know where he got it, but I just thought it was the funniest thing that that's his true name, not his stage name of Jay Sean. Down by Jay Sean may have been one of my favorite all-time songs ever. Like
that was a bop.
You know Pamela,
fun,
right, Parker?
Yes.
You all have.
Shout out to Pamela.
Yeah, shout out to Pamela in South Florida. But we on my, what birthday was it? 14th birthday, maybe 15th birthday. We were on iChat, which if you don't know what that is, it was the previous FaceTime, basically, on our little MacBooks, and we. It hit midnight and it was my birthday, and she played the song Down by Jay Sean. We just danced to it from both of from our respective homes. And that just like, that song is so good. The rap with Lil Wayne, if you knew that, you were a boss, still are. But I think if he came back and made some music, I would be all in. Like I'd pay money to go listen to Jay Sean be performed live.
his comeback concert. Yeah, I haven't heard anything that he's been doing recently. So
I mean, even around the time Down came out, he had some other songs, but they didn't really get, kind of like Carmen we were talking about, they didn't get really popular, so I didn't really hear much from him. But that song, I would just for that one song, I would love for Kamaljith to make his return.
Okay, I'm as you're talking about him, I'm gonna look him up real quick just to kind of see what he's been doing. I'm curious.
I don't know what he's probably been up to. I mean, I really haven't heard anything from him.
Did you know that he is English, by the way?
Yes, I did know that because I heard him in an interview one time. And I was like, oh, an accent.
I would not have done that. Okay, looks like he has, the last stuff that he came out was in 2014.
Okay.
So that was when his last kind of main, well, actually, no, in 2016, he did have a single come out, but again, I don't think it was, you know,
didn't super catch popular much attention.
Oh, what, he got married in 2009 and his wife gave birth to one daughter in 2013 and a son in 2018. Wow. So look at him,
family man.
He's a family man, you guys. He's settled down. Yeah, so his parents were Punjabi.
Yes, remember that. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting.
So Punjabi and English mix. Maybe that's how we got Jay Sean.
I'm not sure. I'm sure that there's some story behind it.
Yeah, that's interesting that he just had a kid so recently, like a year and a half ago or something.
I know. Good for him. Go Jay Sean. Our little Jay Sean. Jay Sean's grown
up. All grown up. That's funny. So yes, that's kind of where we are music-wise. We also want to do this thing where we kind of talk about a meme, a tweet, a post, an account or whatever, on social media. Cause Parker and I really love social media. We talked a little bit about our favorite platforms last podcast,
right?
But
how we spend hours and hours of our lives.
And I think it's fun. You learn a lot from it if you're smart about it. And then it's just entertaining.
It's educational and entertaining.
I thought every single one of my posts or whatever would be TikTok related, but this week it's not. I was telling Parker,
ooh, a twist.
It is
keeping
related.
Things fresh and exciting for you listeners out there.
Yeah, keeping you on your toes. It's related to my TV show that I've been watching. So like I said, I've been watching The Bachelor. And as I was watching this week, I was like, oh, I'll just get on Twitter because I love seeing what people post about these contestants.
Right.
I think it is the funniest thing.
Yeah, that is one of the shows, excuse me, that has such a big social media presence.
Yes.
I mean, people really love tweeting and posting about The Bachelor.
And so I just decided to get on Twitter and I looked up hashtag The Bachelor and like, there just wasn't a lot. I was like, what? There surely is. Maybe it's because I'm late or something that like, you know, this happened earlier this week and I'm watching it on a Saturday. But I was like, surely I can find some good stuff. Not a lot of like popular content. Come to find out. The hashtag.
This girl put on her investigative cap and went to work.
Come to find out. The hashtag that was trending was The Bachelor, but it was spelled incorrectly.
You're kidding.
That was spelled right. Thank goodness. Bachelor. B-A-C-H-L-O-R. Bachelor.
I'm dead. I'm dead.
Bachelor.
How does this happen?
And that was the hashtag that was trending. Not the correct spelled one. The Bachelor. And I was like, you're kidding.
Oh my gosh. That is
so
crazy.
Funny.
Like, how does that start? Yeah. It's like, did no one realize that it was misspelled or realize it? And we're like, oh, I don't care.
No,
that,
it was the latter. People were like, LOL at us misspelling the trending hashtag. I was like, somebody fix this.
Exactly. Especially for a show that's been that is tweeted about every single week.
Exactly.
Why this week was it misspelled? And then everyone's like, yeah, we don't care.
We don't care. We're just going to jump on it.
Screw it.
So that was my funny. It was kind of a, not necessarily an account or a post, but a hashtag. The Bachelor. What are you gonna do?
That was funny. That I did not realize that whenever that happened. But thank you for bringing that to our attention.
You're welcome. I'm pretty big on grammar, you know.
This girl.
This is funny.
Called out.
Yes.
Okay. So my social media of the week I was inspired, and I believe it must have been like just a Twitter like reaction photo, just on some tweet.
Yeah.
And it inspired me, which I guess YouTube is considered social media, right? So that's what I'm doing. So, it was just like a funny like reaction of this character from the show Mad TV, which is I don't think it's on anymore, but the character's name, which I might be mixing up some of the middle names, is Bunifa Latifa Harifa Shalifa Jackson. It might be mixed up there, here and there. If you guys have not watched the Bunifa videos on YouTube, you need to.
Yes.
They are hilarious. They make me cackle out loud. Bunifa is a meter maid from Hawthorne, California.
Mm.
And she is very animated. She stands up for herself. She has no filter.
Love.
She has a best friend named Sonia, who always calls her on her cell phone during situations in which she should not be answering her phone. And it just puts her in like funny situations. Like there's one of her taking her driver's test.
I remember that one.
There's one of her on Judge Joe Brown, like a TV show. There's one of her in the airport. So it's just like funny situations. And that actress, which I don't know her name off the top of my head, does such a good job at playing Bunifa.
Wait, isn't she also in, what, am I crazy to think that she played a character in That's So Raven?
She did. She played a security guard.
Yeah, or something like that. Or like a celebrity. Yeah. I remember because we talked about this and we were like, is she on this show?
she did, I think, a kind of side role on That's So Raven.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. That actress is amazing. And so I watched maybe like 5 or 6 of those clips right in a row and was just laughing and laughing. So
they are so funny.
It was inspired by just, I think someone had screen grabbed a picture of her face. Yeah. And had posted a funny thing with it.
Actually the one that introduced me to Bunifa. Remember we stayed up watching all those clips
last year? I was like, you have to watch this.
So good. The one where she auditioned to be a Los Angeles Laker cheerleader. So good.
That one was so good in her Laker girl outfit and her her very interesting dance moves.
Yes, so. No, I love Bunifa. You all have to watch it. It's so funny.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So check that out on YouTube. Shout out to Mad TV and Bunifa. Yeah. If they were still on, I'm sure that they would be sponsoring us.
Absolutely.
So, Suresh, continuing with kind of social media, should we kind of talk about our nostalgic topic of the week?
Yes.
Of pop culture of the past?
Yes, absolutely. Saw a tweet about this, didn't you?
Exactly. So segueing with Twitter, yesterday I got onto Twitter, as I do, as it's my only hobby. No, I'm kidding. I saw that Zoe 101, Drake and Josh, and I think our iCarly were all trending. And at first I got excited because I know that there's been kind of rumors of a Zoe 101 reunion show. Yes. And I thought maybe that was what people were talking about. Lo and behold, it was just a tweet by some media outlet. It wasn't really a mainstream one, but so it somehow became popular. And it said, rank these four shows. And it was pretty much the four tenants of Nickelodeon of the past.
Yes.
Drake and Josh, Zoe 101, iCarly, and Victorious.
Mm-hmm.
So now Victorious, we still watch, but maybe that came a little bit later in Nickelodeon's time.
Yeah.
So we weren't kids whenever that came out. I think we were probably 14, 15. So
I still watched it.
Oh, same. Still watch it now today because it's back on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Yeah, yeah.
So it's still funny, but yeah. So those four shows, and people were arguing about it. We're ranking them. So we thought, why not rank them ourselves and discuss kind of, you know, what we think of these four iconic shows of our childhood.
Before we rank them, this is so random. I was watching Victorious the other day and I watched, do you remember the episode, The Robberazzi?
Oh yes, when Robbie was like filming them doing like,
for like the website and, like, paper
making
thing.
Stories. That it one was so funny.
The show was really, really good. But yeah, it was definitely later on. So okay, yeah, we haven't ranked them like ourselves. So I'm interested to see your ranking. Should we go, let's go 4-1 and maybe we'll like each reveal what would be like our fourth, third, second, and first place.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. So in fourth place, I already have my ranking in my head. Do you have your ranking? Do you know what you're where you're going?
Yes, I do. I do. Yep, okay. I have it.
My fourth place show. I don't. I want. I feel like we're going to disagree.
We are. We are.
Okay. Let me make sure I got all this right. My fourth place show is iCarly.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I liked it. I never got super into it. I don't love Miranda Cosgrove. I'm not going to lie. I just don't love her. So I feel like I never got too into it. So I feel like out of the four, definitely my least favorite.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. You're probably not going to like me for this, but for my fourth, I am going to have to say Victorious. I do like it, but I think it's a little bit less special to me, I would say, because it did come later on after I wasn't really a kid anymore. And I would say after the first season, it wasn't great anymore.
Yeah,
it was only on for three seasons. The first string of maybe like 8-9 episodes were hilarious. They had some very funny characters in it. Some good songs too. Like it was like there was music involved, and I do like it. But out of these four, I would have to say at last, I'm also not the biggest Victoria Justice fan, and I think the reason was because she was definitely outshone by some of the side characters, to be honest. Specifically obviously Ariana Grande, which that was a source of lots of strife between those two, and Jade's character as well. Also, I think a lot those two characters kind of eclipsed Tori's character, because Tori was more of the kind of, you know, main, not bland, but not as
as big of a
quirky
like a big of a personality.
Not a big personality, exactly.
I agree. Okay, I'm not too mad. What would be third place for you?
Okay, so third place, which I think we're also going to disagree on this one, is going to be Drake and Josh. Do love Drake and Josh. The only reason that it goes, some episodes are absolutely hilarious. The only reason it does is because, especially in the first season, Josh Peck's character was too much, in my opinion.
It was
too animated, which for that time period, which that like type of character and humor was still like hilarious for kids, especially. But now looking back, it was just like not as much. And I think maybe it was a little bit earlier where maybe I feel like I didn't watch it as much as some other shows. Like when it was on, of course I did, but I think it was kind of maybe coming to its close is when I first started watching Nickelodeon a lot as like a child. So I don't hold it with as much reverence as some other shows.
Yeah.
So that's why I put it at number three, which I know a lot of people have that as their number one online, but I'm going to put it as three. Controversy here. I'm not afraid, y'all.
Starting some fights. Respectfully disagree with you.
okay. What is your third place?
I think we'll agree on ditto on all your reasons. Victorious is third. Like, okay. It's fine. I like it better than iCarly because I think the humor is a little bit better.
Right.
And also, I think with Victorious, it is the timeliness of it. And it did such a weird job of trying to combine, like, music and television. Like, it did like a weird, because I get that they were, you know, doing some like music classes and stuff, but like I didn't love the way the show flowed. Ditto for all your reasons. Victorious would definitely be my third. So I'd go iCarly, Victorious from the bottom up. For second place, I think I'm interested to see. I really don't know what your top two are going to be in which order. Actually, no, I think I do know, but I think we're going to disagree as well, because I'm going to put Zoe 101 as
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
I love Zoe 101, and I know you love Zoe 101. I think it's good, but it's not so much why Zoe 101 is second place as it is why Drake and Josh is first place. Drake and Josh is literally one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. Like, I watch it. It's on Hulu. So I watch it to this day. And I just think the episodes are so funny. I think the dynamic between Drake and Josh is funny. I will agree with you. Anytime I go back to watch it, I don't watch season one as often as I watch the
rest. Right, yeah.
So I agree with you on that. But just the humor between those two and, like, Josh's character as he evolves, just I cannot. What I love is that's truly who Josh Peck probably is in real life. And I think I love that. Like, I'm like, this is so authentically him and so authentically Drake. Like, it just works really well.
That's true. And now, they've posted some, because remember Drake and Josh, the actors, had a bit of a falling out
I remember
in real life for a while. But now I think that they're better, and they've done a couple videos online as well.
That's
where,
good. Like,
I saw one with Josh Peck and Miranda Cosgrove
like
a video as well. So
I think I know where you're going to head with yours.
Exactly. Also, I was realizing there's so much crossover between these shows because Miranda Cosgrove obviously was Megan on Drake and Josh.
Yes.
She was Carly of iCarly and also played Dustin's girlfriend on an episode of that was the actress who played Sam. Never mind.
Oh, Jeanette McCurdy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. McCurdy. But there was so much crossover where like actors were on multiple shows, you know, here and there.
Sam and Kat did a weird thing.
Right, exactly. Later on, that was like after Victoria.
Yeah, that was bad. Awesome. That was just bad.
Yeah, there were a couple episodes that I've seen that were funny, but yeah, after that, it couldn't capture that same magic.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. So I think you know my number two is iCarly.
I knew it.
I love because iCarly was very clever in some aspects. It had a lot of funny, like, recurring characters that would come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it felt very much like a complete universe. And Sam's character to this day kills me. I thought that character was just so funny, especially when it was, like, her and Gibby interacting and things like that. There is an episode called I Speed Date that was in season one. That is my favorite episode.
Ooh,
I watched it a ton. Also the one where there was that that bully that like Sam fought at the end.
Yes,
Sam
I remember
was like trying to be a like girly girl, but then did it. That episode floors me. It's so funny. So that's my put at number two. And my number one is Zoe 101.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet yesterday that kind of encapsulates my same view on it. It said, while all of these shows are good, Zoe 101 was an experience.
I agree.
It's so weird to describe because Zoe 101 wasn't funny per se. Like it maybe had like funny moments.
Right.
But it wasn't like that. There was no laugh track. It wasn't as what you consider, it wasn't like a classic comedy.
Yeah.
There were like dramatic moments. It was just kind of like funny things. And I think a main part of why it was successful was the setting.
Mm-hmm.
It was at that gorgeous campus
Pepperdine
University campus. Just seeing like those kids, and I think it was fun as a kid to see like those kids not having like their parents around, you know what
yes,
I'm saying, like being independent like students, like pretty much like they were in college at like age 10.
No, I agree. 14. It gave us something to look forward to, I feel like.
It really did. I think, yeah, a lot of people were saying that Zoe 101 made you want to go to college when you were like 8 years old.
Yes.
And now I just view it as such like just a fun, just like so I feel so nostalgic for it because it was just so did such a good job of like showing what kind of the like kids culture was like at that point in time in the like mid-2000s, and it was just so cute with all of them interacting.
Yes.
And I don't know, I feel like I feel like I have such fondness for memories of me like watching that show when I was that age and everything.
I agree.
And like when most of the cast got back together last year,
that was so sweet.
That was so cute.
Yes.
And I don't think it's on any streaming service, right?
No, I wish. I would love to watch an episode of it.
Yeah, I bet eventually it will be. I'm surprised since Drake and Josh, Victorious and Victorious are, but I don't think iCarly is currently either.
No, I don't think so. I think it will though, because did you hear Nickelodeon signing that whole thing with Netflix?
Right. So probably eventually.
Yeah, which will be nice.
Will be on there, which so I'll be excited for.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I would love to rewatch Zoe 101. Now I will say, best theme song, Zoe 101, hands down.
Oh, that theme song is killer.
No competition.
It's so good. It's so good.
We jam to it anytime Parker and I are in a car together. We'll play it.
Ooh. I know. You know, we will. That song is like still such a good song to this day.
I agree.
I will listen to it every day. I won't because that's kind of weird, but I like it a lot.
I also do. No, it's a great, great theme song. Well, hey, I think that was fun. I like that that came up yesterday because
exactly. Back in our nostalgic I saw that was
days.
Yeah, exactly. And there you go, guys. You wanted some disagreement.
We disagreed on every single one of these.
But we did it in a classy way. And you
Absolutely.
Know what? That's what our listeners like.
Exactly. Classy, respectful disagreement. That's what we're all about.
wouldn't the world be a better place if classy disagreement was just what everyone preached and practiced?
When we start talking, when we start doing our 2020 presidential election podcast, I'm just kidding. I don't think we'll do that. But if we did,
we're gonna have half bit to politics, guys. Get ready.
But look, we're prepared for it.
We are. That caucus, though.
Oh wow. My God. Don't even get me started on Iowa.
I know. Don't worry, you guys. We are not going to have political discussions. We might touch upon it because, especially nowadays, politics and pop culture are
basically
the exact same thing, let's be honest.
I agree. But no, that was fun. Well, hey, that brings us to a wrap of our second episode ever.
How exciting. It was not as long as our first episode. No, so
we'll get
you
better.
Guys are welcome.
I think also what Parker and I talked about earlier was our like Oscars whole thing. It was fun. It was informative. It was packed with information, but it wasn't too long. So we hope you all enjoyed listening to our predictions, and we'll watch the Oscars tonight and kind of see how well informed Parker and I are when it comes to what the Academy wants.
Exactly.
Movies and people.
We'll see how much our views are aligned.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the mysterious Academy.
Exactly. So. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in and listening to our podcast today.
Yeah, thank you guys for episode 2. Yeah, make sure to watch the Oscars tonight.
Yes,
we'll be discussing them more next week.
Absolutely. All right. Well,
and
this is,
I think that brings us,
Sarish, and
this is Parker, and as you guys know.
We're signing off of our podcast. P.S.
I hate you.
All right.
We're almost together, almost in unison.
And everyone.
All together now.
Well, hey, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you all later.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
See you next week.